Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Alemania.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy New Year.
Feliz 2020. It's been a crazy ass decade,
we don't use crazy in this decade anymore. That is a problematic word.
It has been a tumultuous decade.
Ah, sí, man. Look at that SAT vocab.
Ay, no, ¿cómo estás?
Great. How are you?
I'm coming back from the holidays. It was interesting being at my mom's this whole time. Después te cuento. It's been interesting, but I am good. I've been eating all kinds of crazy
wait,
shit.
Wait. Being at your mom's, like, after being a married man and then coming home? Or what?
Yes, because I've actually spent some time in my mom's. Normally, I'm always working. Even when I live with her, I was never at home. So being with her all day long, it has proved very, very interesting.
And are you there? Is your partner here too?
Yeah.
With your mom?
Yeah.
Hanging out? What do you guys do?
They both, ¿cómo se dice? Se juntan contra mí.
Oh, yeah. That's really easy to do.
Yeah.
That was my favorite thing to do with your mom.
So yeah, it's been interesting, but I'm happy. How are you? How are the holidays?
Good. A lot of family drama this year, mm-hmm. which I guess usually I'm here for most of the year, and this year I wasn't.
Yeah.
So like I kind of know what's happening with the family dynamic, and you know when you have a lot of aunts and uncles and
it's a lot
shady grandmas, like it gets pretty intense. But like you already know what's going on, and I had no idea what was going on. So like on one side of my family, I'm not going to say which side because some of them listen to this show now, but on one side of my family, one of my tías was obviously upset at somebody, mm-hmm. and I was trying to get the tea, but nobody would spill it. But then they were trying to get me in the middle of it because one of the families that usually comes, all of us get together at the same house every year, but then one of my aunts claims that she wasn't invited. And technically, ooh. I wasn't invited either. I just know that's where
family,
you go, where
right.
we go every year.
Yeah.
Like, we just show up and it's a party, right?
Right.
And so, but you know, they do this thing where they're like, okay, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this, pero no le digas a nadie que te hable. And then they like hang up the phone. And then but I'm an adult now and I don't want to be part of it. So I call one of my tías back and I was like, never tell me that. If you don't want me to say anything, then just don't tell me.
Right.
I don't want to be in the middle of it. If somebody point blank asked me, did this person call you? I'm not going to lie for you anymore. And she was, it was like, I voted for Trump. Like she was so offended. Like,
right.
you're not going to stick. I'm like, it's not that I'm not going to stick up for you. It's that I'm not going to help with this lie of like.
Unnecessary
and it's
drama.
It's petty shit. It's petty shit that doesn't like
no limpio los trastes.
Like, don't tell you. Listen, I don't want to take your grandma to the store, so don't tell her I called you. If she tells you I called you, tell her I was at work. Like, it's all these lies that I have to remember. And I was like, bitch, I was closeted for way too long. I don't have to lie anymore. I don't want to lie anymore.
I want to be free.
Yes, bitch. Set. Be free. Be free. That's what we're trying to, that's what I want to do in 2020. Be free. And speaking of free, unfortunately, so that was one side of my family.
Right.
The other side of my family is very religious, evangelical, and my grandma, so this is what happened. We had a tamalada, right, at one of my tías' houses, and my tías are so talented, and, you know, I talk a lot of shit about the church, and even on the show, you know, aleluya.
Amen.
Right? Like, we do that shit because that shit, that trauma sticks with you, you know? Like, and that vernacular is, like, part of me.
No, even though it's part of the identity.
It's part of my identity. Yeah, like, I was in the church for 18 years. Like, what? I'm going to just, like, leave that behind? No. But I use those terms now or that part of me as kind of a joke now.
That folklore.
Yeah. Because it's a way for me to like use those things in my own way, like reclaiming my identity.
But it's also like a way to show that you're over it, you know, in a way.
Yeah, and just to be like, yes, this was part of me, And it's this thing that happens, like, when people, you know, when people move on from something traumatic or something abusive, it's like that was part of you.
Right.
And that shapes your decisions for the rest of your life.
Right.
Right? So, like, you can't ignore that that happened. Like, suppressing that and pretending it never happened.
Or being mad at it.
That's really bad.
Right.
So, with one of my grandmas, I can joke. And with one of them, I can't. So, this one, I can't. And so, I do shit like when I go over to her house, I knock on the door and she's like, ¿Quién es? And I go, ¿Quién vive? You know? And she goes, Cristo, right? A su nombre, Gloria, right? So I do that shit and it makes me laugh so hard because she doesn't want to play with me like that, but she can't help it because it's like a church thing, you know? And so I went to my tia's house for the tamalada. My family, they are some singing ass bitches, man. They can sing. And I didn't mean bitches in a bad way, but in a very nice way. But they're usually like the leaders of the choir at church, like my family, because we're talented like that. We're all artists, okay? So.
La otra.
Uh-huh. And so my cousins, they're really good at singing. And we were just making tamales, talking, and like, oh, you know, we haven't really put Christmas songs on, and Christmas was like 2 days away.
Right.
Let's put them on, and then we start singing along, you know? And then my cousin, she's like, I wish I was in choir. I was in theater, and I got to sing some songs, but I never got to like really be in choir.
Right.
And I was like, do you know the Hallelujah chorus? She's like, I actually do know that one. And I knew the bass. And then my other, you know, so it was like, we know the different parts. So it's like, Hallelujah. You know that song? It's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But we actually were harmonizing and doing it like really good.
Uh-huh.
And the whole room just got quiet.
Uh-huh.
And my mom was like so happy. Everybody was so happy because it sounded beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Even beautiful. You know how moms don't even, like, I could have been singing, like, La Chilindrina. My mom would have been like, oh, my God, stop. You know what I mean? So the
sad part is that I know La Chilindrina song.
I know that you mastered it, but you did it for the talent show in fifth grade. But, and so we start singing, and my cousin Gabby was there. She's a photographer. She's, uh-huh. she's always documenting everything. And she's like, get this on camera. So she's videotaping it.
Yeah.
And like not even 30 seconds into the song, my grandma just shows up. She just walks up to the table. She's like, yeah, yeah, paren esto, paren esto. And we're like, what?
What?
And I have this all on camera. I'm not going to play it because...
No, 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 no. That's
my grandma said no I couldn't. Need. I asked her. I was like, this is good content for my podcast. And she's like, fuck you. She didn't say that. She said it with her eyes because she's not allowed to say it. She's a woman of God. So wait, wait, wait. And she's like, no, 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 no. Esto no me gusta.
And she thought you were laughing at the
and
whole
she,
thing.
Yes. Ugh. She's like, es que el Justincito, that's what she calls me. Justincito, para él todo es un chiste. Las cosas del Señor no se burla. You know, like she was just going off. And I never in my life, Pablito,
race.
Have talked back to my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Not once.
Yeah.
But everybody was so shook. Like you could see it in their face. Like they didn't know what to do because it's the matriarch of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but everybody was like loving it. And my mom and I, we've been getting a lot closer lately, which is wild to me.
But that's awesome.
But my mom was on the defense. Like my mom was pissed when my grandma did that. You could see it in her face.
Yeah.
And so my grandma goes, she's like, no, es que, She just goes on and then she's like, porque siempre que habla de las cosas de Cristo, siempre es un chiste para Justin. And she's like, es que no tiene Jesús
en su corazón.
And then my mom was like, my mom comes out of nowhere. And she's like, usted no sabe el corazón de mis hijos.
Ay,
so dramatic. And then everybody just starts jumping in. And I'm like, wait, 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 wait. You know, like, oh wait, God. Wait, wait. She's like, grandma, listen. I was like, yes, you're right. 100%. I was like, todo lo que hago yo es un chiste. And that's just how I cope with it. You know, like, I was just, like, explaining.
Yeah.
I understand why you think this is that. But honestly, this song that we're singing, I'm singing it like earnestly, full on. Like, I love this song and I love my cousins. And I'm like, aquí estamos conviviendo, disfrutando, you know, la compañía de nuestra familia. I'm like, let's just, that's what I wanted to. Right. And I was like, pero si, esto siempre pasa, abuelita. Cuando estamos disfrutando toda la familia, usted siempre para todo porque, you know, asusta. And she was just like, and I'm like, I'm just telling you, I was trying to be very calm. Like, anytime we have fun, like, it's the devil. And it doesn't have to be that way. We're all adults. We're all having fun. It's okay.
And we're happy.
Meanwhile, I have a flashback to my dad's side of the family where we're so fucking gay, like, that we're making, like, buñuelos, like, listening to rocking around the Christmas tree, like, dancing around in the kitchen, like, drinking mimosas, you know? Like, why can't we do that, you know? Like, why can't we be free?
¿Y qué dijo tu abuela?
No, she... Her brain, like, I've never talked back to her.
Se le saltó la vena.
No, her brain, she was just like a robot that, like, gets wet. Like, she's like, cannot compute what is happening. She was, like, short-circuiting. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk outside. So I went outside, and then I came back inside, and I apologized. And then my mom apologized. Well, she didn't really apologize. She never does. But she was like, you know... Es que Justin tenía la segunda. You know, she was like trying to explain like why it was a special moment. But oh my God. So and so then that was for the tamalada. So then at Christmas, my grandma was still mad at me. And so she wouldn't sit next to me.
Ay, tu abuela.
And I would sit next to her on the, like a couch or next to her on the table.
A huevo,
she would stand up and go to the other side of the room.
El like drama. She
was mad.
Oh my God.
And I was her favorite, so, like, it's the end of an era.
Yeah.
New decade?
No, I don't think so.
New life.
I don't think so.
I'm not gonna do that.
But I mean, you know what
I'm most upset about is that me and my cousins always sing that stupid Happy Birthday Jesus song at Christmas, and I didn't this year because my grandma was like giving me the evil eye. Have you ever heard that song?
No.
It's so bad that me and my cousins love singing it because it's so annoying.
Well, you can no more.
I'm gonna do it right now. Okay. This is my show, bitch.
I'm free.
Happy birthday, Jesus. Have you heard that song?
No way.
I'm so glad it's Christmas. You never heard that song?
No
way. It's so bad. And me and my cousins will YouTube it and watch like little girls like singing it at church. And it's so bad. And you can see the audience like, my God, when is this going to be over? Anyway, that was part of my family time. But on a positive note, like, I've never seen my mom stick up for me in, like, a family situation.
That's beautiful.
So that was awesome.
That phrase should be put in t-shirts. Usted no sabe lo que tienen mis hijos en su corazón. Así es mi suegro. One time he got mad to one of his kids, and he looked at him, like, so, like, in detail. He goes, ¿por qué tienes tanto odio en tu corazón? And I really thought he was joking. I thought he was just being, like, funny. But no, he really meant it, man. My holidays, it was good. It was good. It was just like we always get together on the 24th and the kids get crazy because they want to open presents. But this year's two things happen.
Yeah.
This is the first year where I don't want anything. Like buying shit just seems such a waste. And normally I'm like, okay, let's do it. Like that's the only time of the year where I engage and I'm buying and... It just like I wasn't getting into it, so I wasn't excited about that part. And I saw the kids just like how excited they were about gifts, and it was just like a weird moment for me. Have you ever seen those fucking dolls? They're little dolls, kind of like the Polly Pockets of today, and they're like LOLs. They come in capsules, and you can buy the doll, and then every single accessory has its own package. So you buy this big capsule, and then it has like 20 little packages of plastic. So you can unwrap the little glasses. You can unwrap a car, a fucking scent fresh for your car. El que parece como pinito.
Air freshener.
It's like this big. It's like tiny, 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 tiny.
How big? You know, this is an audio video.
Right. I was trying to think like como medio centímetro. Like, I don't know. It's tiny.
And it
comes in a tiny little package. It's just so by the end of the night, there's like a mountain of fucking pink plastic packages just for the excitement mm-hmm. of opening one package after the other after mm-hmm. the other. That was fucking annoying, and I'm just like, oh my god, like it's like
Blue Apron for kids.
That is exactly what I was thinking about. Yeah. Fucking Blue Apron. It's such a fucking way.
That's blueapron.com/Latinos.
Oh my god. But yeah, it's exactly like that. And I was, I don't know, it's como dice Paco, el mundo no se va a salvar y qué bueno. Like it's gone. But being in my mom's has been very interesting. Because, I don't know, I think I was here at home for so long, and I just never paid attention to her idiosyncrasies. ¿Cómo se dice?
You said it.
Eso.
Say it again.
No, güey.
Idiosyncrasies?
Porque eso voy a decir puras idioteses. Pero...
Oh, by the way, I got a lot of mail about some things.
Really?
I think you're getting your foodie card revoked.
My foodie card?
Yeah.
Because I said tamale?
Because you said tamale, because you didn't know that buñuelos were made with harina.
Oh, that's right.
And you thought they were made out of corn. So that was bad. Also, green tomatoes and tomatillos are not the same thing. You kept...
Pues tomates verdes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, shit, man. You got to be careful. These foodies are coming for you. Shout out to our listeners, Carlos and Dora and... Everybody else who messaged who messaged me in support.
Mira, no sé cómo se llaman, pero todo el mundo me sale bien rico. So it's
and I already couldn't correct you again because you already did the whole pot pan thing. And I'm like, I can't go in on the tomatillo thing. I can't disrespect tomatillos like that. But.
Pero déjame te cuento de mi madre, güey.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Back to your mama.
So my mom is very super shady and I never noticed. And my sister...
You did it?
Never.
Okay.
Never. Your mom. Yes. It's making me like her more, but now I see her.
Why do you
her.
Think I always sit next to her?
Now I fucking see her, man. Like when she came to visit me in Chicago, and then we have like one room before you actually came in the house, and it's just like no es piso, it's just like cement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, do I take off her shoes? I'm like, you don't have to, but if you want to, you take off your shoes here. Y luego se los quita y dice, pues ya se me ensuciaron mal los pies, te voy a llenar la casa de polvo. And I'm like, okay, you cannot take off the shoes, it's fine. And then, like, by the second day, she's like, I come in the house, estaba riendo. Oye, ¿qué? ¿Tú nunca barres? And I'm just like, okay. But I'm just like, I started laughing. And one time we were FaceTiming, and I was with my microwave against me. And she goes, ay! And I was like, ¿qué pasó, mamá? Ay, pensé que era mi microondas, pero yo sí lo limpio.
Wow! What a queen. What a queen. Yes,
and those,
mama.
Right, and those things just make me laugh. That's what it's been this past week. Just like una tras otra, tras otra, tras wow. otra, tras otra. And my boo and I just listen to her, and we just look at each other because we know already. And my sisters get annoyed with her because they have to deal with her all the time. I don't. So I have been getting my life with my mother this whole entire time.
That's what she keeps telling
me. Yeah, like, porque me levanto tarde.
Yo, that's real, though. Like, I have to clean my car. If I go to my grandma's house, I clean my car.
Sí, porque si se sube.
Because if by the off chance that she wants to go to Panda Express or something, it has to be clean inside. Because if not, she's just, like, she doesn't even say anything. She's like,
right.
Oy. You know, just like...
Right. And it was the same thing.
One day she said, ¿alguien se meó aquí en tu casa?
Wow. No,
grandma.
I know. My mom is like that.
I just have an old car.
It became a fight because querían pavo o querían brisket. And like, brisket is like a thing in the north. It's like...
Yeah, we had brisket.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. And then I made tacos the next day after Christmas.
So good, right? Mm-hmm. So we all wanted brisket, but my little sister wanted pavo and she wanted pavo. But my mom doesn't know how to make pavo.
Girl, that's why you get just a turkey breast.
That's what I told her, pero no.
They did a whole thing?
Yeah. But because she quería pavo, and it became like a thing. Pavo, brisket, pavo. Finally, she made it. Her pavo was fucking delicious, of course. And uh-huh. the brisket was like tough. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was good. I ate it. So the whole time she's like, les dije el pavo y el pavo esto y el pavo el otro. But ay, ay, ay. So I've been enjoying myself, but I have never thought of my mother that way. And now it's like my sisters are like, yeah, duh. That's how she is. So...
It's funny. I think this year too, I just came. I always knew, but like finally, I'm like, I'm kind of over putting up with my grandmother's shit. Just because before it was like a respect thing, and I was even thinking after that whole thing on Christmas, I'm like, the little kid in me wanted to be like, I have to do something to make up for it. Like, maybe I'll go to church one day.
Imagínate,
and then I'm like, what am I doing? That's the last thing I want to do is go back to...
Right.
Just for fun to go back to that? No.
Right.
I don't want that. But...
When was the last time you went to church?
Girl, like, for real?
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you. I was probably 17 and a half.
Hijo de su madre.
Like, after I moved out when I was 17. So, after I moved out, I didn't have to go to church, so I didn't go. Damn. I mean, the last time I went to a church...
For quinceañera.
No, that wasn't even at a church. You know, my grandma and I did a nacimiento in Colorado, and I took her to Misa in Colorado because she wanted to go over there. And there was a church like 3 blocks away from the gallery.
So you sat down the whole time.
I didn't. I just dropped her off. I just went into the foyer. I just went into the foyer and I was like, okay, this is a church. Bye. Do you remember where the gallery is? I'm going to leave some breadcrumbs. Find your way back.
Con M&Ms.
Yeah.
Last time I said it, Misa was, I think it must have been like 2013. And that's because I was trying to bribe this priest so he will allow me to take pictures of this painting that I used for my dissertation.
Oh, I thought dissertation. This was going to go a whole
another way. Casi se te atora el hielo, güey.
I was like, I have seen this one before. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so I couldn't get a hold of him, so I sat down through the whole entire mass.
Ew.
And just waited for him to come out and be like, hola, señor, digo, padre, blah, 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 blah. And then he allowed me to take pictures.
But honestly, going from like an evangelical Protestant background and then going to Catholic church is like fun. It's only an hour.
Porque te paras, te sientas, te hincas, yeah. Te paras, te sientas.
It's theater. But because our services were like 4 hours long.
Ay, no, qué horror.
Like sitting there like. At least Sunday, we went to, like, with the kids, you know, like, Escuela right. Dominical. But we still had to sit through a lot to do that.
No, aquí duran 45 minutos y párale
I'm
de contar.
Out. Yeah. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons I don't like music festivals, because it feels like church to me.
Oh,
I'm like, y'all really standing here for hours to see one person?
For 45 minutes.
I don't give a fuck. No, I'm going to go sit over here.
You did no music festivals in 2019?
I don't think I did.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I went to any music festivals.
I went to one.
Wow.
Yeah, my music festival days are over.
Wow, you're old now.
I am old.
Huh? Why do you think you only went to one?
Because I just don't have money. I don't have money anymore. I don't have that financial aid money. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I think at least I've seen over 1,000 people live. And I feel like 99% of the time I know what to expect from a show. It's rare that I get like, what the fuck was this? So I just look at a show or look at a festival. I'm like, why am I going to like save money and go through all this sacrifice to go to a show? Like, it's not worth it for me no more. But this year I went to go see Robin in Pitchfork.
Oh, wow.
And that was fucking illuminating. That was like, it was one of the best shows I've seen in my fucking life. It was so good.
Yeah.
But we can get more into
music
later.
Before we move on.
Yes.
I actually ate most of the buñuelos waiting for you.
Uh-huh.
But I want you to try on microphone my family's buñuelos. And tell me what you think.
Okay. Pero de qué lado de la familia son estos?
Who makes buñuelos, bitch?
Guatemala. ¿Todo mundo?
No.
¿Nomás los mexas?
My Mexican side made these. Okay. That, like we talked about... Right now and the previous episode.
Bitch.
Do you see how light and fluffy those are?
¿Sabes a qué saben? Saben poquito los de mi madrina.
No. Mm-hmm. Bitch, I've eaten those. Don't tell me they taste like...
I say poquito, güey.
Yeah, like, because there's cinnamon on them.
Es que mucha gente le pone el azúcar y la cinnamon al último, no en la masa, y este lo tiene en la masa.
No, it doesn't. Bitch, I was there when they made them. How you telling me?
There's no sweet in la masa whatsoever.
No. It's all on the outside.
No lo creo, wey.
Girl, my family is so healthy, and I'm doing air quotes healthy, that everything is... We had to wear... My tío is such a germaphobe.
Yeah.
We had to wear gloves the whole time we were doing the masa.
Ay, hijo. Because
he didn't want any germs. He gets sick a lot, so that's probably why. But it looked, from the videos, it looked like we were selling... Like we were selling buñuelos on the corner, because everybody was like, it looked like we all went through...
Con la little net in her hair.
It looked like we all went through OSHA, like, health training to be there at the house. Everybody was wearing nets and shit. It was great.
That's delicious.
Yeah.
That's really good.
The secret is... So this is the secret. So you leave the... Yeah, you leave the buñuelos out. We don't wait overnight like your tía.
Mm-hmm. Mi abuela.
Like your abuela. Like we... We just do them in the morning. We hang out all day, and then when it gets dark outside, we turn on this propane thing outside, and mm-hmm. we fry them outside.
Oh wow!
So you fry them till they're almost brown, and then you put them. You get them out. Están todos aguados still,
mm-hmm.
and then you put them down onto like a metal tray. And when they're hot, then you sprinkle the cinnamon and sugar.
Right.
But it's a mix. It's pre-mixed,
right,
perfectly,
right.
and mm-hmm. then you like. Just do one side of it because we don't want too much sugar.
Yeah, no, that's
and,
not that's
and then it
perfect.
Like absorbs into it, and then you flatten it out for like 30 seconds. You make sure the buñuelo is flattened out, and then it gets hard, mm-hmm. and then you transfer it to the other drying rack.
You know how like that's the hardest part to fry it. You know what's a good trick? Con palillos with chopsticks. It's super, super easy, but like, because like...
I mean, for you, because you know how to use chopsticks.
No. Agarras uno con una mano y otro con otro. Not like...
Oh.
Yeah. And that's actually very, very easy
to
make. Well,
we had restaurant-grade tongs. Like, they had everything. I was like, oh my God, you could really start a business.
Those are delicious.
They're really good. There's more. There's also Cuban empanadas that a friend made for the family.
Uh-huh.
And these little... We call them pinturitas, but we didn't paint them. They're like little sugar cookies we make. Oh, you know what I wanted to tell you about?
Yeah.
Yeah, what? No, what was I going to tell you?
I don't know. I'm eating this cookie.
You know what I was going to tell you about?
Yeah.
What? What was I going to tell you?
I'm so hungry.
Isn't that so good?
It's so good. And there's layers.
And we're eating on the microphones. We don't care. It's 2020, people.
Hey.
Be free. Listen,
uh-huh.
Do you know what tenayuke is?
Nayukes?
Tenayuke.
No.
We say, so all my life I thought it was tenayuke, but it's tenayuke.
What is that?
It's like corn masa,
mm-hmm.
just salty. It's the same consistency maybe as buñuelo dough, but you just do corn with salt, and then you just like make shapes, and then you put it in the oven. And it just comes out like a hard rock of, like, salty corn masa. My grandma makes them in, like, the shape of birds and stuff.
And
so it's like a snack, like, for... It's like a savory snack.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a rock of dough, and you're just, like eating
it's like
it.
Like a hard tortilla.
But it's so good. Yeah, imagine tortilla masa, like un bojote, you know? And just, like, and just put it in the...
Un mojón.
Yeah, in the frying... And not the frying pan, but in the oven.
Uh-huh.
And it's so good with like a Coke, you know?
Yeah.
So you're just like breaking your teeth and then putting sugar on your teeth, breaking them, getting cavities. It's great.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's like a northern Mexican thing because I feel like all the food that my family knows how to make is food that they can make in the morning. Like they can make it and then go eat it like in el rancho later.
Right.
You know, like for all the cowboys in the family. So it's right. Like burritos, tenayuke. You know, tortillas, whatever.
But wait, why you call these cookies pinturitas?
Because we paint them.
¿Con
we
qué?
With frosting.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
My grandma always makes them for weddings, too.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, usually we coat they're tiny, tiny sugar cookies, and we coat them in white and then paint with food coloring on top of it. But we didn't do it this year because we're all grown, and we just wanted to eat them without sugar.
And sing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Gloria al Señor.
Okay, so why don't we take a little break and then...
Oh, yeah, we have a very special episode today.
We do have a very special
episode. Speaking of music... Oh, my God, I'm sorry. I'm still eating.
Go for it. Yes, we have a very special episode. Actually, and this is the beginning of our music month. So we're going to spend some time talking about our favorite albums, our favorite music of last year, and we have a couple of surprises for you guys.
This episode is our we always do it the first episode of every year. It's our tribute to Radio Menea and all our other favorite Latinx music podcasts. So when we come back, it will be our official Radio Lonchea episode for 2019 in review. Hello, this is The Break.
Hi, Break. Nice to see you.
What do you want to talk about?
So, as we have mentioned before, we are an independent run podcast. And because of that, we are very appreciative of everybody, especially when they go to our Patreon and they donate.
That's right. If you go to LatinosWhoLunch.com/donate, you can help us out by becoming a Latinos Who Lunch member. You can do this by pledging $3 and get a shout out on an episode. Then
for $10, you can become our intimate comadre.
Ew! And then for another sum of money, you can be our
madrina.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to be the madrina of the champagne.
The champagne.
Yeah.
Como las bodas, güey. Yeah. La madrina del lazo.
For the next, for my cousin's next quinceañera. I'm so excited. La madrina del champagne.
La madrina de
arras. Thankfully, my family just drinks Bud Light, so nobody's going to drink the champagne. I'm just going to buy 3 bottles at the Costco.
And that's it. But yes, thank you, everybody. We've received a lot of donations. We're going to give everybody a shout out towards the end of the episode. But again, our 3 levels are: for $3, you can have the shout out level. For $10, can be our comadre. And you can become our madrina for more than $10. And yes, thank you to everybody who has donated. It's been amazing. We're very, 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 very happy.
Yeah, I think those denominations, is that how you say it? Denominations of money are too high. So maybe we should lower them. But we'll talk about it on the next episode.
That is.
When we decide what that is, because I just thought of that right now. Like, who the fuck is going to, okay, anyway.
So again, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/LatinosWhoLunch and give us a little hand so we can keep producing this podcast.
Yeah, give us a hand. Get intimate with us. And if you don't want to give all your information to Patreon because that's just another way,
because of the government,
because they're watching you from your computer screen, you can also do a one-time donation on PayPal. It's all on LatinosWhoLunch.com/donate.
Is it supposed to sound like this?
New York City in the summertime. Sweat dripping down, papi, damn you fine. No AC in Wella's house. Good luck getting up from the plastic couch.
Bienvenidos a Radio Lonchea. I'm Babelito Valletti Flores.
And I'm Fabio Favela Perez. And we are two Latinx friends with wildly different music tastes. Wow, Babelito.
What a year.
What a year for music. What a year. What a year for me last night picking these songs right before we record this because I didn't listen to shit. But this is our music episode.
So what were we listening to?
Well, this, I mean, if you don't recognize her, this is Maluka.
Oh, I love her.
You do? Tell me more.
So Maluka is what is it? She's a singer from...
She's New Yorkan.
Yes, she's from the Bronx.
She's from the Bronx, Dominicana.
And she actually has been around, because I remember the first Maluka song I heard. Maddie still lived in Albuquerque when I was in grad school. So this was like, I don't know, over 10 years ago. She did a mix of one of JC's songs and she made it tropical and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I thought she was going to explode back then. Mm-hmm. She was working with Diplo, so that's probably why nothing happened. Yes.
And you know that Major Lazer is just Diplo? I feel like we've had this conversation.
Yeah,
before.
You and I had this conversation because we were both like, what?
Sad.
Yeah.
You know how sad that is?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the 90s really set a precedent for like white people appropriate. I mean, it's been happening since forever,
always,
obviously.
Always.
Like, listening to, there's this new podcast called Dolly Parton's America. Oh, you haven't heard of it?
No.
Girl, get your ass out from that rock that you are under. Because this podcast is amazing, but it goes into the history of like Appalachian music and like, or Appalachian. And of course, it all goes back to Africa. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the banjo, like all those instruments.
Right.
It's all appropriate. And then thinking of like, you know, Elvis and, you know, so many different people, Rosalia, you know, just like appropriating hip hop, black and Latino culture. It's like, it never ends. And so anyway, this all came to mind because I was driving on the freeway the other day and I never thought about it. Because I'd never seen them before.
Right.
But you know the band Big Bad Voodoo Daddy?
Uh-huh. Like, no.
They're all white dudes.
Oh, my God.
But it's like voodoo is their thing, which is like a New Orleans, like, Creole thing. You know what I mean? It's
but,
like...
But that's also how nationhood works, right? If you put everything under, like, these limits, everybody's safe and everybody's under the same culture. That's why everybody's like, oh, we're not racist because we're all Mexicans. But just because you're part of this that city doesn't mean that that specific culture belongs to you. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna tell you right now, there's never been a bigger lie than saying we're not racist, we're Mexican.
We're Mexicans.
Because that's... trust and believe, the most racist people I know happen to be Mexicans.
Right, yes, yes.
Like, we can't say we're not racist for any kind of Latinx because, hello, there's white supremacy and oppression in every country, matter what.
Plus, our colonial cultures are based on racism, so like it's fucking ingrained. You know?
Speaking of Maluka, thank you so much.
Yeah,
no, but it's so exciting because there hasn't been any new music out from Maluka, and this single
for a while
was brought to my attention by my dear friend of the podcast, Miguel, who we met in Texas many years ago. He was actually on one of our episodes.
Yeah.
back in the day. And he really saved my life for this episode. He's been sending me recommendations.
Sweet.
So he brought Maluka to my attention, and I love her. So, and especially this song is like total throwback. It's giving me like...
Como esa canción de Cardi B, Bruno Mars.
It's giving me throwback, but it's giving me more Latinx, like 80s, like Miami Sound Machine. I feel a little Gloria Estefan in it.
No,
right? It feels like a little bit like that. And then the whole line with like plastic on her grandma's couch and on Abuela's couch. Like, I love it. I love like a nostalgic song, like from the jump, you know? You can tell.
And didn't she have that song Shit the Fuck Up too? And that was huge. Yes, yes.
I don't know.
I think so.
I trust you.
Google
it.
Don't trust me because you trust me with ingredients and I fucked it all up.
I never said I trusted you. When did I say I trusted you?
Right. You're absolutely right.
With music,
right.
Maybe, but not with food. Not after that. The tamale incident of 2019.
The Bacol, damn.
Oh my God.
So again, this was Maluka, New York City Baby.
NYC Baby.
Ay, que emo. So the next song, it's My Choice.
Ooh, let me guess, a white man.
It is a white man. So this is a half Spanish, half Colombian. And I was like, I think Angelica from Balloon called me out because I asked her for Latinx recommendations in a text. This was a couple months ago. And she sent me this Spanish girl via Brooklyn. She's like, whoa, you chose Rosalia. So there you go. Mm-hmm. But it was amazing. She's like, no te creas. This is really, really good. But anyway, so this is Niño de Elche. La canción es, the song is El Pregón de los Caramelos. And yes, here it is. And I'll tell you more about it in a second.
Hello. Salía de Asturias y al entrar en la montaña fabrico mis caramelos pa' yo venderlo en España. Caramelo, caramelo, caramelo vendo yo. Caramelo, caramelo, caramelo vendo yo.
That's fun. I like that.
So this album came out in May of 2019, and I just started hearing about it in the beginning of November, and I got fucking hooked. So Niño de Elche is a controversial figure. He's been remaking flamenco in Spain for a couple years now, so people are loving and hating. He's part of kind of like this new wave of people remaking flamenco, which again has been very problematic with Rosalía, because Rosalía is not even a gitana, but that's a whole nother conversation. But he traveled to Colombia and he got together with this guy from the Meridian Brothers. And the Meridian Brothers is one of the weirdest, kookiest, most amazing psychedelic bands to come out of fucking Latin America. And this album screams Meridian Brothers more than Niño de Elche, and it's Latino, and that's why I chose it. Every single song in this album called Colombiana, dude, it's a study of different rhythms and types of music from different parts of Latin America. So, for example, the album has a song called Peteneras, and peteneras are sones de Veracruz, but then los gitanos were making it their own, like back in the beginning
sones?
Of the sones, como like canciones.
Okay.
Un son veracruzano. And then they are, I think it was in the 18th century, somehow they ended up in Spain and they become these canciones gitanas. And this guy is bringing it back, making it gitanas, mexicanas, but with psychedelic Colombian music. And there are playlists that he put together. He brings together early 20th century Latino music, like the first recordings, like from the 1920s and stuff. And then he does 1970s German progressive music and then Gitano music. Dude, this album is fucking insane. And on top of that, every song, including this one, El Pregón de los Caramelos, it's a joke on the whole industry of drugs, because some things are legal and some things are not. And the shit that is really killing people is the legal stuff. So that's why this is about a guy who sells candies, but it's a throwback on some candies that actually had cocaine that people were eating in Spain back in the like 50s and 60s. But the whole narco thing, it's como bien criminalizado, right? Mm-hmm. So every single song is about that, and it's fucking good. And la música está chingona, like it's fucking beautiful. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I love this kind of shit too. It's like, it just, again, kind of like the last song, it's also very nostalgic, like listening to a lot of those different elements of the song.
Right.
And then how it goes from like this kind of, I don't want to say folkloric, but you know, like more traditional music to like more digital, like almost video game sounding music.
Right.
It was giving me Yoshi Story tease. I really liked it. I really like it. So I can't wait to dive into this band.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And the thing about it is that this decade was dominated by reggaeton in different forms. And even the people that were not making reggaeton. First, it was EDM. Everybody was doing that maximalist EDM shit. And then people forget about that, and that's not cool anymore, apparently. And now people are diving into Caribbean music somewhere or another, and that's the mainstream now. So listening to Niño de Elche, going back and showing us that, like, there's just, not showing us, but just, like, using all kinds of different inspirations of Latin American music, not just the same one, was kind of refreshing in 2019. So again, Niño de Elche, El Pregón de los Caramelos, get into it.
And you know, it's interesting what's happening now, because I noticed when I was doing research for this episode, so many hours of research that I did. Oh my gosh. So I do it for you. I do it for you all, okay? I noticed that a lot of these new Latin artists, Latin in quotes again,
right,
that are recognized in America as like part of the Latin Grammys and everything, right, are mostly Spanish artists that are, I don't want to say that are appropriating, because I don't know everybody's story, but are taking a lot from like the Latin American, I don't even want to say diaspora because that's not the right word, but you know what I mean,
right,
from Latin American music, and then like in their big studios in Spain making this music that they know is going to sell.
Right.
And a lot of the artists maybe were like born in Argentina or something, and then like, you know, and then they live in Barcelona or in Spain somewhere making right. music, you know.
But that's,
and so it's like, where is that line? Like, I don't know, you know, like right. what is appropriation, what is celebration? It's a sticky situation.
You have to take it with every single case.
Yeah, but what is fact though is that like people with lighter skin get more opportunities.
Oh, of course.
So it's really a shame that we don't imagine for every white Latinx artist that we mentioned on this podcast, there's 20 others that are probably doing the same amount of amazing work and we don't know about.
And probably even better.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about pretty much most of the music that we've been listening to mainstream. Like, as you say, at the bottom of all of these rhythms, it's all African rhythms. It's all Afro-Latino rhythms. And that's the thing, like, they're not getting any credit. And that's the history. Like, rock en español got big, and that was one of the first movements, you know, like kids doing stuff in Latin America in 80s and 90s. But it was something that started in Spain. So it's like the relationship between Latin America and Spain when it comes to music, it's so long. But for example, even this album, even Gitano music, that's the other in Spain, you know, like that's the brown people of Spain as well. So everything is always has this oppressive history. So don't be sleeping.
Yeah, and there's also the hierarchies in music. Like, reggaeton, when it came out, was looked at as, like, ooh, really, really, like tacky music.
I remember when it started, I was in, like, high school, and every time I went to Juarez, people were like, ay, estos reggaetoneros. Like, and now everybody's
into it.
Why?
Because black people like reggaeton. Because
he was Afro-Latino. That's
sorry.
Right.
It's like, true. That's just why.
It's true.
And now it's, like, being rebranded a lot. Like, this is Latin trap, right? Or, like, ugh. It just, like, bitch, that's reggaeton. Like, but it has, there's a stigma to it.
Right. You know?
And speaking of that stigma, I'm going to talk about my pick for the next song. Go for it. Destino. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Poetry.
Poet of our times. Poet of our times.
That was, of course, Tomasa del Real, and the song is Perrea Conmigo, featuring DJ Blas and my soul superstar, I think that's how you say it, DJ Urba and El Licenciado, from Tomasa de Real's newest album, TDR, TDR, for all you Spanish speakers out there.
This is a moment.
Yeah?
Like, it's good. It's a good song. I never heard it before.
Really?
Yeah.
I love her because she's a fucking badass bitch, and you can't fuck with her, so... I've always liked her music, and again, our listeners have been sending in recommendations to me, and this was one of the albums that I just like to celebrate this shit, especially when people talk shit about artists that are, you know, they just don't have no filter. They are, the theme of this episode, they are fucking free.
I want to be free.
She is fucking free, okay? That's what I love about her. Tomasa, if you don't know her, Tomasa's from, she's a Chilean artist, uh-huh. And she was actually, I read, she was a designer, she was a tattoo artist, and singing was just like a thing that she did on the side.
Damn.
And then it like became like her biggest thing. So I'm just, you know, I just wanted to bring, usually I'm the Vero Valletti Flores of this episode. I mean, sorry, usually you're the Vero Valletti Flores right. of this episode, but I wanted to give a little shout out to Vero. Because she is team Perreo. But I am also team Feelings. I'm both, okay? Don't fight, okay, Perez?
Did, This year I'm all team feelings. Like,
We switched.
It went
we should have switched.
It went south.
What happened?
I got depressed. That's
why.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to get
into it. Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's get into your
let's get into your most personal
topics here.
Let's do it with number one. But anyway, the next song is Guapa by Juan Wouters. Let's get into it.
Guapa, linda mujer, inteligente, hermosa, te gusta comer, andar en auto, tomar vino y diversión. ¿Será que me gustas a mí? Tanto, 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 tanto. Dices que si en otra almohada yo dejo mi olor, eso es externo a lo que es nuestro amor.
Ay. Love this guy. Juan Wouters is an Uruguayan, así se dice, uruguayo. Nació en Uruguay, but he was raised in Queens. And this album came out in January. This is La Onda de Juan Pablo. And normally Juan Wouters is more like an acoustic.
Is that his real name, first of all?
Juan Wouters. No, se llama.
Is this supposed to be a reference to John Waters? Or is that
pop
culture knowledge taking over my brain?
I mean, it could be. I don't think so. I mean, he has more albums and they're all in English, and I just never got into them. But this is the first full album from beginning to end in español, La Onda de Juan Pablo, and I fucking loved it. It's cookie, it's weird, it's very acoustic, and actually he's getting more attention with this album than like anything else that he has done. And he's come to Chicago a couple of times, pero siempre me lo pierdo. And he always does these acoustic shows. And this song, I don't know the rhythm. It's like más caribeño. And a lot of the songs
it's kind of Brazilian, girl. What are you talking about?
It is kind of Brazilian. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the songs have a lot to do with her. I think he lived for a while in Mexico City. So there's one called, it's called El Blues Chilango. So it's about everyday life in Mexico City, and I got into it. It's a strange little album, but it got really good reviews, and I listened to it for a while this year. So I chose songs from albums that I really got into, from Latinx albums that I really got into this year. So again, the song was called Guapa by Juan Wouters, and the album is La Onda de Juan Pablo. Listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, it's so great. Good. Are all the songs kind of happy?
Mm-hmm.
Like that? Oh, that's nice.
Semi-upbeat album. He's not dramatic at all.
That's a nice change of pace for you.
It came in a good time.
I always wonder why, like, if you're sad, why do you listen to sad music? You know, like, I know people like that. I'm not like attacking you like specifically, but like, it's a like, to me, if I'm sad, I want to listen to like upbeat music to get me out of it.
Because right now for me, sadness is mixed with anxiety, and like every song, every music gives me anxiety. And there's very few, like last year, Los Walters, remember I told you that was like the only, for 3 months, that's all I could hear too, because everything else like was just giving me too much anxiety. So this was like soothing.
Be, like, calm.
Exactly.
Ah, yeah. Interesting.
And plus, somos latinos, güey, nos encanta el drama. So when I get really sad, like I go to Juan Gabriel. Always. Like sí, güey,
to like cry with Juan Gabriel.
I think it feels good. Yeah, it's like. ¿Tú nunca lloras con las canciones de Juan Gabriel?
I can't say. I've ever cried.
listening
to a song. Maybe. I cry a lot listening to podcasts now. Like, stories that get me. Like that Dolly Parton podcast.
Yeah.
Bitch, I was crying every episode.
Is she awesome or is like she's very problematic?
So there's this thing that I don't know. There's still an episode left, so I don't know. I haven't listened to the last one that I hope they address. They kind of address it, but she's silent a lot when she should speak out. And because she's very neutral, because her audiences are very, her audience is probably the most diverse audience out of any singer in history.
She's a gay icon.
Yeah, and like the South loves her. Like everybody loves her.
True.
And so she's never like spoken out against Trump, you know, which okay, but like there are a few things that she does like in the podcast that show you that she's paying attention and that she knows what's up, because a lot of people on the right got upset at her for kind of neutralizing, I will say. I don't want to give it too much away. If you want to listen to this podcast, you should. Like some of the language around, like, you know, old, you know, the Appalachian, whatever, Tennessee culture. Anyway, because it all after Charlottesville, you know, there was just a magnifying glass on like Dollywood and everything, right?
Shit.
So something that bugs me is like, also, you know, you talked about this idea on several episodes of like time being something that, you know, is really important to take up time and space as a person of color, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you can be visible, but how much time are you actually taking up in that room?
Yeah.
So Dolly Parton, there's something, unfortunately, white supremacist about her silence. Because she's white, she's allowed to be silent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If she was somebody else, she wouldn't be allowed that privilege, that luxury.
And she's profiting off of that silence.
And silence is consent. So like, if you don't say anything against something, you're part of it.
Yeah.
Especially when you're somebody like that.
Yeah.
And so it's like silence is also an agent of white supremacy.
Right.
And I know in the bottom of my heart that maybe that Dolly doesn't think that.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's getting old now. She's trying to make money. Like she knows that if she speaks out against things, she's going to lose like half of her audience.
She doesn't want to Dixie Chicks it.
Yeah. But then she'll do stuff, you know, like go on award shows with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, who are very anti.
Super.
You know, and like, I mean, Jane Fonda just got arrested, right?
Yeah.
And like actually using her, she's like using her white privilege, you know? And so anyway, it's very complicated. I don't even know how we got there. because we were talking about
sad music.
And most Dolly Parton songs are really sad.
They are.
From the jump.
They're good.
Yeah, they're so sad. Yeah. Oh, crying while listening to songs.
That's right.
I don't know. I think TV shows and podcasts, that's the only time I'll cry.
No.
Like, I've been obsessed with the Black-ish franchise.
Yeah.
Like Black-ish, Mixed-ish, Grown-ish. Grown-ish isn't that great, but I love the character, so I'm watching all of it. But, this could be our bonus episode. You know what? I'm going to stop talking. We're going to do a bonus episode right after this, and we're going to talk about TV shows. Okay.
Let's do it.
Back to music. Am I next?
You're next.
Okay.
Let's do it.
This is a song by one of my faves, and it's actually not on her album, but on Caitranada's new album. This is 10% by Caitranada and Kali Uchis.
This is the second year in a row you choose Kali Uchis.
That's right.
She's amazing.
I just love her. I think I love her because even watching her perform, she can't really move her body. But she's got an amazing body, right? But I just feel like she's so cool. Like, she doesn't care, you know? Like, she doesn't really open her eyes all the way.
Yeah.
You know, but she, her voice is just so... It's like butter. I love her fucking voice.
Como la Mariah Carey, que no se mueve.
Yeah, but Mariah Carey's different. Because Mariah Carey, like, she's a diva. Right. You know, like... Did you see her new music video for All I Want for Christmas Is You?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I can't engage.
It's the most choreography I've ever seen her done, and it's literally like three moves.
Sube los brazos y ya.
Not even. It's a full on like $1 million video, and she's like giving you a little head
shimmy.
Like shimmy. Oh my god, it's so good. Oh, the queen of the holidays. Shout out to you, Mariah Carey.
And this is from Kay Trinada's new album. And this album is...
Yo.
You love Kay Trinada.
I fucking love Kay Trinada. Where are you? I love him. And, you know, I just love the beats that he uses and the inspiration. And I mean, we're going to talk about this in the future episode of our favorite albums. But his albums have definitely been some of my favorite of the decade.
Yeah, this album is called Baba. It just came out in December. So this is like, he barely made it for 2019.
Yeah.
He made it into the list because he makes amazing music. And I seen him live and he does DJ sets, but they're still amazing.
Yeah, and it's so nice because, you know, we have like our Diplos and like Mark Ronsons and all that shit. So it's nice to have a person of color. I think he's queer. Or maybe that's just wishful thinking.
Right now, everybody's queer.
But
so
yeah, everybody's queer. Yeah, it's a cool thing. shout out to Frank Ocean. And so he's Haitian, Canadian, and just an amazing artist. And Kaliuch is Colombiana, but she grew up in the United States. I think she grew up in Virginia, in the United States.
Sácatelas.
Mm-hmm. So it's so nice to see them like teaming up to do this. It's so... cool. And there's so many other amazing people on the album. And if you haven't listened to Kali Uchi's Isolation album that I recommended last year, that is also a fucking jam. Oh, this is what I wanted to ask you about. So when I was teaching in Oregon, there was a very intense conversation in my printmaking class with the students. And they were talking about the differences in between a jam, a bop, and a banger.
Oh my god.
Do you know the differences?
So banger refers more to like heavy metal music, right? Because you bang your head to it.
No, mijo.
I remember in the 90s there was a MTV Latino show called Bangers.
Yeah.
And it was because of that.
It's like language changes. As an art historian, you probably are aware of that. So banger doesn't...
I hate art
that.
History, so yeah, what are you talking about?
That doesn't mean that. Like, a banger is like a banger. Like, everybody knows it, and you can, like, dance to it, and it's like a hit. That's what I think a banger is.
I thought that was a bop. That's when, like...
No, a bop is, like, something you bop to. Like, do a motion of what you think bop is.
Like bop.
See? Like, what you're doing? Yeah. That's a bop. Like, you're moving your shoulders, like, right. Ooh, this is a bop. Like, and then there's a jam, which is, like, to me, a jam is, like, has a nice groove, and
right.
It's, like... kind of old school. Like, I reserve the word jam for like 90s shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There could be something that's a jam now, but like, oh, this is my jam. You know, that's like we're also, I just imagine all of the 25-year-old listeners and younger literally like crashing their car into a tree, like listening to us old ass motherfuckers. Vernacular that was relevant 10 years ago in 2020. What's your favorite banger? Listeners, weigh in. Let us know what's the difference between a bop, a banger, and a jam, and send us examples of each.
Nice.
Wouldn't that be a nice email?
That would be
great. If somebody wrote it with correct punctuation?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Ay, ay, ay.
Are you... Oh, there's... You still have another song. So,
yes.
Oh, we didn't even explain. We have three songs each, and then we're going to choose the album of the year.
Right.
Okay, great.
So this is my ultimate favorite song this year. This is País Nublado by Helado Negro.
Obsesionado con mi boca. habla sin respirar. Despacio te digo, porque nos falta un tiempo más para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado. Para pasear este país nublado, este país nublado.
Ay, mira, caigo. This song was my life this year. Just like period.
What is this song about?
This song, it's about being in states of like hazy state of mind. Mm. And the idea that you still have time to go through this, so you might as well embrace it. So todavía tenemos más tiempo para pasear este país nublado. But the whole entire album, in a way, it's it also talks about, and he's been talking about this for a while, of Latinos living in cold, cold weather where they don't belong to. So the idea of being like in a cloudy place, but also in a cloudy mental state as well. So the idea of just like you're just waiting for the wind. And there's also like some of the songs he talks about this of being like there's no sun, and then he brings like these Caribbean instruments like in a very like soft way. So it's like a, like we're waiting for the summer. The summer is coming back. The sun is gonna come out. So yes, you are depressed. Yeah, you're in a hazy state. People also talk about how this is just a way to get through this past 4 years, and like since Trump, this past 3 years. So yes, we are in a very cloudy, fucked up state in the country, but hopefully we're gonna get out of that. So it has a lot of metaphoras that can apply to just like personal life, but also like more collective state of mind of what we're going through. And his past album was all about that. It was about empowering the Latinx communities, but he does it in a very soothing way that I just fucking adore. I love it.
Yeah, he seems like a, I wonder how he is in real life, because he seems like a very grounded person.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, I'm sure he's not always happy, but even though his music is kind of sad, melancholy music, there's a brightness about,
yeah,
him.
And every time you see him in social media, every time you see him in interviews, anything, even when the song is sad, like he's smiling, like he's always like, he brings this personality. And when you see him live, he goes to you and he sings to you, like it's fucking amazing. Like he's really connected with the audience, but always in an upbeat way. But then in the background of all of that is like his weird like shiny monsters performing on stage with him, and like even the lyric, what I like about his lyrics is that like the Spanish is all kinds of wrong. Like if you look at the structure of the sentences, it makes no sense, but he doesn't give a fuck, and I think he does it on purpose. Like he just changes the meaning of words and the meaning, the structure of the sentences, to just make it whatever the fuck he wants.
He still doesn't say tamale though.
Hijo de la chingada, güey. Tú también dijiste tamale, güey. But you call yourself out. But still, like, a todos nos pasa. Todos tenemos nuestros días. Todos tenemos nuestro país nublado.
¿Qué te pasa? ¿Qué estás haciendo en casa?
¿Qué te pasa, chiquillo? ¿Qué te pasa? But yeah, this is following his Private Energy from 2016, which was also one of our top picks. One of the first times we did a Radio Lonchea, because that was an album that we... that got us through the fucking election. It was just crazy. It was, but it's, I don't know, everything that he does, I'm down. And I've been listening to El Lado Negro since for over 10 years, I think. Like, he's been doing music for a long time, but now he is, he's not mainstream, but now he's indie royalty. He now has the respect of the Latinx community and also like the indie gringos, you know? So, and that's good, because it's hard, because they're both really weird markets, and he's able to navigate both back and forth in a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. So down with this song.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's our last song.
Right.
Now it's time to announce album of the year. Drum roll.
That sounds like a helicopter.
Sounds like chorro. Pablito, what is our official album of the year?
So the album of the year, it's no surprise. It's El Lado Negro, This Is How You Smile. Right. I'm not on social media, but I went to Twitter. Fuck. Like, it was really hard for me this year. And I just went to Twitter once just to thank him. Because, like, his music has gotten me through a lot. And, like, I really wanted to give him a big shout out. Because his music has been there for me for 10 years. I can get really fucking depressed. And, like, his stuff is the only stuff that I can listen to. So, again, the album of the year is This Is How You Smile. Sorry, man. This Is How You Smile by El Lado Negro. Listen to it. It came out in March, and it's been on repeat, and I cannot stop. He replaced Rosalía. Like, I don't listen to Rosalía.
Girl, you were on one last year. I was like, really? You're going to bring a white woman to this podcast? I'm like, I don't know.
It's a good album, and it's worth it. It's a good album. It's just that she became part of the empire really fast, and I told you
from the jump.
I'm still giving her the benefit of the doubt, but
yeah, she's great.
But I rather have somebody like El Lado Negro, who's like, ha batallado, and he gained the respect because of his own talent. And when he does shit on his bedroom, he started doing stuff like that, and now he's doing. He did a live album, and it's just like 5 or 6 songs, and. Mm-hmm. They don't sound exactly the same as the album, but they have all these arrangements. You can tell that he spends so much fucking time with tiny little arrangements. And some of the songs, you hear them and they sound very simple, but there's credits of like 2, 3 on drum players. So it shows you that this is like really well produced by him, you know, not like a fucking entire team of people getting into your music, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yep, El Lado Negro, again, our album of the year. This Is How You Smile.
Amazing. And so we're going to continue this music theme throughout the month, right? Mm-hmm. What do you have planned for us next episode?
So then you want me to say both episodes or just next
episode? Sure, whatever you want to reveal.
So the next episode is going to be an episode of our top albums of the decade. Y eso es lo que tú quieras, güey. You can do white.
How many? Pick 3?
Yeah, porque otherwise we're going to be here forever. So yeah. It's going to be tough. I feel like we can talk about in depth for 3, but then we can mention like our top 5.
It's perfect. I only listened to 3 albums.
I know which ones they are.
And it's not Latinx. It could be any genre.
It can be anything. Okay. And then the last episode of the month is going to be a breakdown of every song from Café Tacuba's Re.
My God.
Remember how we went to the anniversary of that
album? I did. That's going to be interesting.
Yes. So we will talk about those songs, what they mean, and we'll get into Café Tacuba. Hopefully they'll listen to us and they finally can come to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I've been texting with, what's their
with
name?
Ruben.
With Ruben, yeah. He's busy.
Somos bien piquis colis, como dice Yaremi. Mm-hmm. But before we go, I also wanted to give a big shout out to, because last year we started doing our podcast of the year.
Yes.
And last year was Cabronas y Chingonas.
And this year, our podcast of the year, Latinos Who Lunch, official favorite 2019 podcast of the year, our favorite show. De Colores Radio from Dallas, Texas, Oak Cliff, represent. Shout out to Eva, shout out to Pat, shout out to my favorite white Tino, Rafa on the ones and the twos. They are amazing. They have been doing so much amazing work this past 2019, and I want to give them a big virtual hug and celebrate them. If you're not listening to De Colores Radio, put your life together.
And as you say, they do all kinds of different things. They're always working with the community, doing art shows, doing festivals, doing all kinds of different things. They actually were recognized by a local magazine as the top, not podcast, but the top radio show of the year in Dallas. So they're getting the recognition that they serve. They work really, really hard. They have been friends of our podcast for a long time. I still remember when we met them for Podcasterio a couple years ago. We clicked right away and they have been friends since. Pat actually visited me in Chicago this year and it's amazing. But we chose them because of that, because of their hard work. Yeah. Thank you, The Colores Radio. You guys are amazing.
They're the real deal. And I'm telling you, I want to interview them someday. I know we've interviewed Pat before, and Eva's been on our So Fat, So Brave episodes, but I would love to make it a point to get them on Latinos Who Lunch, their voices on here again, because I love how they're always kind of challenging each other and bringing on guests and calling out anti-blackness. A lot of things happened in Texas this year and they didn't shy away from talking to it. I love that they're so proud to be from the DFW area, but also, you know, they're also very critical of it. And there could, you can be both.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can love your city, but also be critical of it and also like help people, like just kind of restructure this like internalized racism within our own communities and just like outward bigotry that's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, we say like, especially in the South, but girl,
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every city has its South. It's all, it's all the same thing. Yeah. And it's a good, you're right. It's a good example because you can be critical and you can love without being hateful. And there's a lot of haters out there. And The Colores Radio is definitely not one of those, one of those podcasts.
Yeah. I just thought, so Eva and I have become very close friends.
Yeah.
We talk all the time. And yeah, when you said the haters thing, it made me chuckle because if you only knew the shit we talk about, I swear, I think for a bonus episode, I'm going to make it one of our conversations if with Eva's consent, of course.
Yes, yes.
So we'll have to filter it a little
bit. I can't wait.
I'm gonna, off the mic, I'm going to tell you some funny shit that she said.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm just like airing out all the dirty laundry. The Colores Radio, you are amazing. And I can't wait to see y'all soon. I'll be in Texas a lot this year, so I'm definitely going to see you guys again.
Sweet, sweet. So before we go, we already started in the last episode, but do you have any resolutions for 2020 that you want to tell everybody?
I mean, I mentioned it last episode that I really want to be in the moment this year and not just like be working. Because I get into work mode because that's like just like what I've been taught. It's just like my, you know, I think our culture, especially my family, we really value working.
Mm-hmm.
And so working to me, you know, gets me out of my funk. I also realize it's also a way to distract myself from like what's actually going on.
Right.
And so I don't want my work to be an obligation. And I know this sounds super privileged because I'm an artist and I make my own decisions and schedules and I'm my own boss and blah, 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 blah. But I want art to be fun for me again.
Right.
And it, because I'm doing so much, it's not fun for me anymore. It's like, fuck, I have to get this done.
Yeah.
I don't like that feeling. And I think maybe 5 years ago, that's what I thought. I thought, no, I'm working. This is supposed to feel like work. No pain, no gain, whatever.
Right.
And now I'm like, you know what? It doesn't have to be like
that. No, you can do both.
This year, I almost killed myself twice, literally, like making art.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that, you know? And so speaking of, if you want to come see one of my installations, it opens January 22nd in Boston at the Prudential Center. I'm installing it like January 20th. Hopefully it doesn't look like trash because I had to ship it. Oh my God. I'm so nervous about that piece. But anyway, I'll announce it when it gets closer. So being in the moment and yeah, just not, I feel like this thing is happening, guys, and it happens for all you listeners under 35. It starts happening in your mid-30s where you stop giving a fuck about playing nice, I think, and just because time is limited. Like I said, we're running out of time. And so I do this thing where I don't say what I'm feeling just to benefit the feelings of other people or not to make situations awkward. And it's like, I'm not doing that anymore. I don't want to do things that I don't want to do anymore, right, just to save face or just because it's like the proper thing to do. And that's like, I'm saying that out loud, but I know it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take, I've been trying to do this already for like two years, but I don't want to, there's a lot of shit like, you know, like when I would be nice and go to music festivals with you, I look back at it and be like, yes, it was amazing. I had so many memories, but it would have been cool if I just like went for one day and left.
As opposed to,
you know, as opposed to like suffering to the fucking noise we were listening to. But it's this thing, I think, also that like as a child of immigrants, you know, like, I gotta take every opportunity. I gotta take every opportunity. I can't say no to anybody, and that goes on to every aspect of our lives. Like, you know, when it comes to work, when it comes to the way we talk to people, when it comes to the way we consume things. You know, it's like, I gotta have this. I gotta have it all. Like, no, you don't have to. It's fine. So, letting go and
being free.
That's nice. That's a big thing, but I'm really looking forward to. Oh yeah, and I'm trying not to drink anymore. Like,
nada.
I'm gonna drink, but like, you know, it's so easy here in Vegas to like get in this routine of like going to the bar, or having beers at home. And the past 3 months in Ashland, Oregon, I didn't have a car, and the bars closed at like midnight there, and I would work late, so there was no opportunity to like, and I feel so good like not drinking.
That's good.
Adds, you know, drinking, like, it's a fucking downer. It like really heightens your depression. So it's been great not drinking as much as I usually do, and so I'm gonna keep that up.
Nice.
In 2020.
Nice.
But if you have other substances, I'm down to do that.
Háblame.
Dude, it's like 2020. It's a new decade.
New vision.
Ooh.
I wait.
Wah, 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 wah. So let's do it. You know, like, I feel like it's a fresh start. How do you feel about it? Do you have any resolutions, goals?
Yes. I have three. Okay. I am pushing hard to get to that settle point in my life, and I already started talking about it. So pushing for that tenure track, which means getting that book proposal and probably half of the book ready. It's my big thing this year. Fostering a good environment for my students, because this year my class, my seminar was everything. And I had my students at home. I've never done that. So continuing to do that, continuing to teach in a way that it can be a dialogue as opposed to just me talking and showing images. This was the first year that I really felt the way that I wanted to feel when I used to see my advisors teach. So to feel like my advisors after all these years feels amazing. So I want to continue to do that. And I do want to, I started again exercising like almost every day. I started 3 months ago, and I'm in it. So I hope, because I go in and out of it. But that helps me sleep, so no drugs for sleeping. That also, like, as soon as I exercise, I feel much better. It helps with depression. So working towards that, working towards, like, getting settled in my life, not just in a city. I'm working with my students and really continuing to exercise are three of my things. But, you know, todo mundo dice que van a ejercitar. They're going to do a lot of exercise at the beginning of the year and nothing happens. But I really want to continue because out of everything that I've tried for mental health, I think that's one of the most important things for me. I think that keeps me busy. So, like, I'm thinking about exercising every day, and that's a good thing for me. So, and I also am pushing myself for doing things out of comfort zone, meaning in terms of academia. So this year I proposed myself to do a seminar on the art of Native resistance. I still am I don't know what I'm going to do, which means that I'm going to put together a bunch of lectures from different scholars, a lot of readings, and I'm going to do it. So I'm actually going to be my own student throughout the whole semester. And I did it last semester, and the results were wonderful. So I wanted to continue to do that every semester as long as I'm allowed to. And I don't know, hopefully I will be back on the West Coast this year. So cross your fingers, because that is a big goal, but that's not up to me. So yeah, just working.
Yeah, I mean, those are good goals.
Que nos queda.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I think that has been our official Radio Lonchea episode. And as always now, we are giving shout-outs to all of our Patreon supporters. Big shout-out to our madrinas. I think I'm going to read this, all the names in Spanish, if you want to read them in Spanish.
Go for it.
Okay. Big shout out to our madrina, Hilary N.
Oh, Vanessa T.
Ana H. H.
Nancy M.
Miguel C.
Stephanie B.
Gracias to our madrinas. And now, shouting out our comadres. Thank you. And L.
Anthony R.
Chris V.
Anita R. Rosaura.
Why did she do it like that? Just like split it up. Anyway, Indira H.
Yesenia.
Don't say her whole name.
Oh, shit. Yesenia S. N. Our new Osiris O.
Osiris O. We love you. Okay, and of course, our shout-out level. Here we go. Shout-out to Raciel C.
Christine H.
Christine. Lucia A. Go ahead.
Ivan L.
Angelica.
Liz Z.
Roberto R.
And that's it.
And also shout-out to our other donors, Dora P., Laura C., Daniel S., and Bobcat F. Thank you. We got some more PayPal donations. Thank you so much to Brooke F. Your support means the world to us. Thank you so much.
Muchísimas gracias.
And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. You can send your emails. Ask us a question. Ask lwlpod@gmail.com. If you want us to come visit you, come to your school, you had a budget to fly us out and all that good stuff, you can send it straight to latinoswholunch@gmail.com. But if you want to ask us a question, because I'm doing a few listener letter episodes probably in February, start asking away. Ask lwlpod@gmail.com. And if you don't trust the internet like most of us and you don't want to support us on Patreon, you can support us by suggesting this podcast to somebody or leaving us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
invisibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela, Emmanuel Ortega, and Maite Sosa. Intro music by the band Brownout. I'm Fabi Fab.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao.